somebody. Come on, keep going. Keep going. He's not dead. Come on. Hey, hallelujah. Lord, we plead your blood in this place. We thank you for a mighty move of God today. We thank you. Stir every heart. Stir every heart.
Let's get ready to celebrate. Someone shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Clap your hands like this, everybody. Come on. Come on, man, let's play. Oh, our God, he's not dead, but he's alive and well. Let's sing, Cinder.
The Lamb that was slain, he's alive. Forever he shall reign, he's alive. They crucified. Calvary.
He's alive. We worship you, God, in this place because you are alive. And there was none like you in all of the earth. So we lift our hands without any music. We open our hearts even the more, and we worship. From the front to the back, from side to side, our praise will not be secret, but our praise will be public. Let everything that hath breath praise the good Father. Come on, you can do better than that. Praise the good Father. God, we bless you. We worship you in this place. Hallelujah. I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you are, but I've heard the tender whisper of love. In the dead of night, you tell me you are pleasing, that I'm never alone. You're a good Father.
It's who you are.
It's who you are.
It's who you are. It's who you are. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are.
wonderful I can hardly speak. He's so unexplainable. I can hardly think. As you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper. As we lift your holy name, you deserve the glory and the honor. We lift our hands in worship as we lift your holy name.
His name. So great. Do me a favor as you're worshiping. Go into your past. And I want you to look at his resume in your life and think back on how great he's been to you. Go down memory lane. Did he heal that body of yours? Did he become the provider when others were being swallowed up? Was he that great protector for you? Then tell him, God, you're great. You're great. You are great. You do miracles.
You do miracles. Yeah. So great.
No one.
There is no one else like you.
Who did it? Who did it?
There is no one else like you. You are great.
You do it all the time.
You do miracles.
Thank you for your anointing this morning. Thank you for your presence this morning, Jesus. Thank you, God, we didn't come to church. We came to the King's palace. Thank you that we're literally in the throne room of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you, God, for your evident and your real presence in this place. Thank you, God, that you change us in this environment. The Lord wants to heal some people this morning. There's an individual on your left, just below, about 1 inch from your collarbone down on your left-hand side. You're having pain. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I command that body to be healed. Lord, the cause of it, I curse it in Jesus' name. Lord, I don't need to say what it is. I curse it in the name of Jesus. I command that right now to come out. Pain to go as evidence in the name of Jesus. There's an individual right across the chest between both lungs. Father, I speak right now in Jesus' name. God, I command right now those lungs to be healed. Father, we curse right now the problem that's causing that stress right now between those lungs and the difficulty breathing. Lord, even as they have caused it through smoking, Lord, I thank you you're going to deliver them today in the name of Jesus and give them a brand new set of lungs for the glory of God. Father, I thank you. Lord, you're healing that person on the right foot, on the top of the right foot. It goes all the way up the ankle and about 3 inches above the ankle. Father, I command that whole section to be redesigned by you, Father. Lord, recreated for the glory of God. Now, there's somebody here. I'm not sure if it's your adrenal gland on your right-hand side or your kidney, but either way, put your hand on it right now. Father, in Jesus' name, and actually you feel pain, and I can show you exactly where it is. Ready? It's right here. It's not on your backbone. It's over to the right-hand side. If that's you, put your hand on it. God's going to heal you right where you stand. Father, I speak right now to both. I speak to the adrenal gland in the name of Jesus. Lord, I curse anything that's trying to get on it, trying to wound it, trying to bring abrasion to it, and I command complete restoration. Father, I just reach into the heavenlies right now, God, and take from the storehouse of heaven brand new adrenal glands and right now place them in the people that are released in their faith. Pain, go. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, I speak to those that are dealing with kidney problems on the right-hand side. Lord, I speak right now to healthy kidneys. Lord, not only the arteries going in, not only the vessels going in, but I command, Lord, if there's anything on it, Lord, to take it off in Jesus' name. I command any growth, I command you off in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, I command all pain to be gone from it right now in Jesus' name. You start moving around, you'll find the pain's all gone in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you. Lord, you're so good. You're so good. You love us so much. Someone here has been struggling with on and off intense headaches, and they're right at, if you take your eye, you go over to the outer corner, and if you put your hand, it's between those two, and it goes straight up your head. God is healing you right now because you asked him to while you were worshiping. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I command right now the cause of it to go for the glory of God. Lord, I just thank you that you are so good to us and you love us so much. Someone just prayed for your thumb, your right thumb, to be healed, and God is healing that. I don't know if it's arthritis or what it is, but I command right now all pain to be gone from the joint of the right thumb for the glory of God in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that you care so much about even the little things. Lord, so many times when we think about healing, we think about miracles, we think about the big things, but God, you think about little things too. You care about every single little hurt that we have in our body. Jesus, by your stripes, we are healed. Lord, 2,000 years ago, you took that upon yourself. So, Lord, we give it back to you right now. Any sickness or disease in our body, we curse you in the name of Christ. We command health to come to our bodies, health to come to our minds and our life in Jesus' name. Lord, we give you all the honor and all the glory, for you do miracles so great. And you're a good God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. I just sense that there's somebody in here today that has an addiction to prescription drugs. Now you say, there's probably lots of people. No, God is going to be very specific with you today. You're somebody that's standing there right now skeptical. Skeptical of what you're seeing and hearing. God is speaking to you right now. And you're going to know this because you just discovered, you just had a thought, oh, I think I might have a problem. This isn't a long time thing. You just this week thought the thought, I have an addiction to prescription drugs, and you're skeptical of what's happening. God is going to deliver you immediately to show how powerful he is this morning in this place.
Come on, give God a shout this morning. Let's sing it with all we got. Come on.
You are great. You do miracles so great.
Good to us. He takes good care of us. I just got one more word of knowledge, and that's it. And that is an individual here. You don't tell. You haven't told anybody, but you've been seeing demons. You've been seeing spirits. Waking up in the night, you look over and you see it in your room, and you haven't told anybody because you're afraid they're going to think you're nuts. I just want you to know right now, God's going to banish them. Are you ready? Father, in the name of Jesus. We take authority right now, God, over that spirit in their home. In Jesus' name, you know you have no right to be in the saints' domain. So in Jesus' name, we command you to go. We don't even need to yell. I command you to go in the name of Jesus and not return and no longer bother them. Father, I thank you. They're going to have great testimony of the goodness of the Lord. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen. On your way back to your chair, why don't you welcome three or four folks that you don't know. Don't sit down. Don't sit down. Go meet somebody you don't know. Come on, be friendly to somebody. Come on, be friendly.
You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no
celebrating with our annual Women's Day brunch Saturday, May 7th at 10 a.m. at the Hilton Garden Inn. You're going to want to get your tickets right away because we sell out every year. Tickets for ladies are $20 a piece, and for 10 and under, it's $11. Ladies, invite your friends and your family, bring the generations, and come together and celebrate.
Hayes Tabernacle, we have an awesome opportunity coming up for all of you parents. Pastor Ron is going to be starting a class every third Tuesday of the month, starting April 19th. It's going to be held from 6 to 7 p.m. in classroom number 1. You're going to be able to learn about godly principles. Colby, get over here now. So as I was saying, we got the parenting class coming up starting April 19th. Every third Tuesday of the month from 6 to 7 p.m. in Classroom 1, Pastor Ron is teaching about the principles and how to raise up your children in a godly way. Make sure you sign up today.
This is a perfect opportunity to be refueled, to allow God to pour into your spirit.
I got clarity and confirmation about going forward in the ministry, and it was just a real blessing.
I would recommend any pastor and every pastor to come to the Empowering Pastors Conference.
Praise the Lord. That starts tomorrow night right here at His Tabernacle Family Church. We have pastors from all over the Northeast that will be coming in and leaders. And we always invite the church body. If you would like to come to this, you're more than welcome. There is a cost. There is $49 cost to that. But let me share with you what you're getting. We have Pastor Tommy Barnett. If you're a business person, you want to be around this guy. He raised up a church of over 17,000 people, as well as he and his son established all of the dream centers all across the world. How many of you know there are a lot of dream centers? All over the world, the Lord used them to do that, as well as he's really been one of the major guys to restore all the mega pastors who have fallen. You know, you see these guys that have fallen, they're not on TV anymore and stuff. His job is to go and to restore them, to bring them back and to get them healed up. Tremendous man of God. He will be here tomorrow night. You don't want to miss it. He's 78 years old. Probably will be the very last time we're ever going to be able to have him in the building. And so, I don't know about you, everyone, he has over 4,000 pastors a year travel to Arizona to be at his conference. We have him here in New York State in the town of Horseheads in a cornfield. Dear Lord, don't miss it. We also have Pastor Frank DiMaggio, and many of you don't know him. He pastors a church of 6,500 in Portland, Oregon. He also oversees well over 400 churches and pastors. He is over Ministers Fellowship International. And I just want to challenge you. He has written a book. It's called The Making of a Leader. He wrote it in his 20s. He's now in his 60s. And pastors and colleges still use his book as one of the jumping points of how to train pastors and ministers. So I want to challenge you, if you have not been here before to the Empowering Pastors Conference, be here. It will change your life. You will walk out of here with a nugget that will transform you from great men of God. I have the opportunity this year, be the first time, I'll be speaking to the pastors and leaders and all those in the building on Tuesday night. And I'm going to be preaching on courage. Ooh, it's going to be a good message, I guarantee. So I'm very excited. Thank you so much for being here, being part of the vision. We, last year, the Lord used that conference to keep three pastors from leaving the ministry. What does that mean to you? I'm going to tell you what that means to you. Because you love them. You invested in them. We did that in this house. We have three congregations, three communities that were not ripped apart by their pastor leaving their church because of the conference last year. And I don't know if you realize how big of an influence and impact that is. Thank you so much. Turn to someone and say, thank you.
We just want to welcome all of our guests to the house today. If it's your first time with us, if you could just raise your hand, we have a gift we would love to get to you. Thank you. Just keep it up real quickly so we can get a gift to you. We are so happy that you have joined us today. We know, right up here, keep your hand up so we can get you a gift. We know how brave it is to come to a different location, something that's different than your norm. It is so good to have you with us today. Right after the service, we have a guest reception. So we would love to invite you over after the service to a guest reception where you'll get to meet Pastor and I. We'd love to shake your hand and get to know you. So please join us down this hallway for a guest reception immediately following the service. And we want to welcome our live stream family. Thank you so much for joining us. People from all over the world are joining in, listening via live stream. We have a congregation of over 100 people right now that watch while we're sitting in here in the sanctuary. So we want to welcome you. Thank you so much for joining us online. Woo. It is great to be in the house of God, where God's miracle working power is flowing to change lives. He is present in this place. I hope you came expecting, because what you expect is what you are going to receive. So if you came expecting deliverance, if you came expecting healing, if you came expecting to have a powerful word of God that's going to transform your life forever, you will receive. Amen. So we're going to enter into our time of tithes and offering right now. And when we start tithing, we operate in a spiritual law, which is just like gravity. It has to. The person that created gravity, God, the one that created gravity, is the same one that gave us his word on tithing, sowing, and reaping. It has to work. Just like gravity, our tithing, our sowing, and our giving has to work. Now, I understand that there's some people in the room today that will hear and grasp this message. They'll grasp it joyfully, and they will be like Matthew 13, where he talks about the sower and the seed, and that seed will land on good ground. You're going to hear it. You're going to be excited. It's so important that we give with an attitude of joy and that we don't limit God. You see, he's not just God over that 10%. He's the God over all of our finances. When we choose to give that 10%, he blesses that 90%. And this passage in Matthew 13:8 says, but the other fell into good ground, which was what we wanted to be, and it brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. It is a law that is as sure as gravity. The word of God declares it. With what measure you give, with your attitude, with your limiting, that's the measure it will be given back to you. So in tithing, you are actually operating a spiritual law as true as gravity. It's a covenant that God actually cut with Noah after he had cursed the land with Adam and Eve. Noah, when he got off the ark, he built an altar and sacrifice to God. And God was so pleased with that sacrifice, he said he would never again curse the ground on our behalf. But yet seed time and harvest would not pass away. So we get the privilege of operating in this spiritual law that when we give, it will be given back to us, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. As true as gravity is keeping you in your seat today is as true as the laws and the principles of seed time and harvest. Are you ready to give into that solid principle this morning? Stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration from the Word of God. And as you say this, I want you to believe what you are saying and declare it over your life and over your finances. God is so powerful. He's going to bring forth increase, blessing, favor, jobs, that entrepreneurial idea. He's going to launch businesses. He's going to bless your business. As you speak this, I want you to believe it in your heart as a law that you believe just like you believe in gravity. Are you ready? Deuteronomy 28 says, I don't know. I'm a little way more excited than all of you about this, but that's okay, because I'll take the blessing. It doesn't bother me whether you believe or you hear or not. I'm going to take the blessing. So Deuteronomy 28 says, If I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. watching via live stream, click on your giving button and give right along with us and invoke this spiritual law in your life.
Praise the Lord. I want to speak specifically to our online campus. Been in prayer the last few weeks, and the Holy Spirit told me that He's speaking specifically to some of you to give a large fund. He spoke, tell me one person was to give a large amount of money, and that the Lord's already laid it on your heart, so no manipulation is necessary. You've not given it because you keep questioning whether it's the Lord. And today it's God telling you. He's holding your blessing, waiting for you to obey Him. You write a check out, send it to P.O. Box 189, Horseheads, New York, or get right online and give online. But as you give that, you'll find the blessing be given back to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You hold my head up. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm excited. It's going to be a phenomenal week, and I'm excited that you are here to do this with us. Are you ready? We're going to show you a quick video. Our Bible college, our Bible ministry institute, went down to Texas and did ministry down there. They're going to give you a testimony today. They really are.
Jesus, I expect you to move in this place and touch people like they've never been touched before, God.
The atmosphere is changing now. For the Spirit of the Lord.
I know who my God is, and I know what He's done, and I know what He will do. Watch them do that, but I'm going to stand up, I'm going to pray for them, I'm going to talk to them. How are they going to put out the fire when I am the fire? Right now, every high thing that tries to exalt itself against my God is going right back to the pit of hell where it belongs.
Just want to offend you. If the devil's not attacking you, you may want to think, do I even have anything that's worthy to be attacked?
Stop thinking you ain't cute enough. Stop thinking you ain't smart enough. Stop thinking you ain't going to church enough. Just come in the book of Acts, baby. And in the book of Acts, the fire of God is coming down. And I decree and I declare in the name of Jesus, that fire is going to be reignited in my spirit. The word God inside of me. And I'm back and I'm on fire. Come on now.
Fill our hearts with you.
So at the end of March, the Bible College went down to East Houston for a revival service, and it was absolutely tremendous, absolutely phenomenal. We had some people that went down beforehand, then we arrived, and they just continued the party. And over the course of a week, there were over 100 people saved. And in addition to that, over 19 people got baptized in the Holy Ghost as well. And on the day that Rudy Santos had preached, 18 people were set free from thoughts of suicide. So we're going to share two more quick testimonies about what God did down there.
All right, so whenever we were going there, Pastor Obi gave me one job, and he was like, you're project manager. So at the end of the trial, right when we were going over there, I realized that I had planned the whole meeting a week before it was supposed to go. But it's funny because whenever I thought that I had messed up, we serve a God who orders our steps. And whenever I thought I messed up, he knew exactly what he was doing. So instead of going a week early on their spring break, we actually got into the schools. And because of that, a class of 40 people in total, 32 of them got saved. So glory to God because of that.
I'm a high school student, so I came down with these guys because I plan on going to Regent next year. And I went down there to bless people, and I ended up getting blessed myself. I got prayed over by Mr. Nick here, and I no longer have issue with seeing certain shades of color, and I haven't had to use my CPAP for my sleep apnea, so it's been good.
Amen. So who knows that there's a financial anointing on this house? Amen. So while we were down there on the Wednesday service, we called up all the business owners and we prayed over them. And one of them we did not know. She was about to sell her business. She was about to give up completely. But we prayed for her. We prayed for increase and promotion. The very next day, somebody called her and sold her their company for pennies. In addition to that, they gave her their land and they paid her to take her land. So we're just incredibly excited that the anointing that is on this house has flowed down to the Bible College. And we just encourage you, if you feel this is a call of God on your life, just come and find me later. We'll love to take this journey with you. Amen? Thank you.
Praise the Lord. What a great... That's Pastor Obina Igbo. He's also the dean of the school, and that's his beautiful bride, Mama Igbo. She's the new Mama Igbo. And we got great students, and we're believing the Lord to continue to expand the Bible Institute, to be able to empower the next generation of leaders. You see, I believe that the next generation of ministers can't be just in word only. They're going to have to learn how to move in the power and the demonstration. They're going to have to learn how to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. They have to learn how to do the moving of the supernatural, because this world is hungry for the supernatural. You know, 1-900-PSYCHIC is $3 billion a year. People are hungry for the supernatural. The devil only provides a mockery of what God had created for reality. So I want to challenge you today. If you have never joined the Bible school, you'd like to. You can see Dean Obina Igbo. Glory to God. And I can't even say his middle name. Really, honestly, I can't. Today is a beautiful day. This is the last message on the seeds of your thoughts. You know, I've found that this year is a pinnacle year for you. For those who were not here last year, I want to challenge you to go online. We do have packets, DVD packets in the foyer as well, on the whole series of messages that deals with the kingdom of God. I do want to say this. I feel this in my spirit. Two things, actually. Number one, there's somebody having problems that we received an offering. Usually the only people who have problems when we receive an offering are those who don't give. So I want to challenge you. The issue is not the church receiving the offering for the king, but for your heart not willing to give. Please understand that that's not, you shouldn't be angry with that since you didn't have to give. We don't bend anybody to give. You give as you will. So I just felt that to say that because the Holy Ghost is going to really work on you. There's another person being healed right now. It's in your jaw. It's jawbone to jawbone, but it's mainly in your right side of the jaw. I don't know if it's TMJ or what, but God's healing you, boy. The word being preached, you're going to find by the end of the service, all the pain will be gone from your face. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We know the kingdom is what God has called us to seek after. He's not called us to be churchized. He's not called us to be religiousized. Can I hear an amen? He's called us. I'm going to trip over that myself. So he's called us to what? He's called us to understand the kingdom. If you don't understand the kingdom, then you can't seek ye first the kingdom. Therefore, what are you seeking? Many people are seeking religion. They're seeking a good feeling. They're seeking maybe going to heaven. But God wants us to be very specific in seeking the kingdom of God. Every kingdom has a king. All kingdoms are established upon a government. All government is established upon a constitution. All governments that are established upon a constitution have to have people that are in the have the people within the kingdom. Where there's no kingdom, that's a king with no followers. That means it doesn't work. So today, we are God's children. Shout, I'm a child of God. Shout, I'm a citizen of heaven. As a citizen of heaven, we know that the laws of heaven supersede the laws of the earth. That's called supernatural. And you and I who live in the supernatural is natural to those that are saved. It's not unnatural. It is natural. And as people of the supernatural, there is a principle we're covering this whole year called the seed. The seed is everything that you need. Everything you need comes in the seed. The Lord established this. He established this in the book of Genesis. So the seed is the main principle that if we grasp a hold of in the kingdom of God, then everything we need, let's just say that together. Everything I need is in the seed. Say it out loud again. Everything I need is in the seed. When you understand that everything you need is in the seed, then seed time and harvest takes on a whole different avenue of thought in your life. We've already covered how time is our seed, how you all only have a certain amount of time on this earth. What you do with the time, how you seed your time, determines the destination you will be. But who you are is determined by the seeds of your thoughts. Who you are is determined by the seeds of your thoughts. You and I are the culmination of the seeds of the thoughts that we have allowed to be not only planted, but cultivated in our lives. Now, I need to say that one more time because I want you to get this. You and I are the culmination of the seeds that we have allowed to be planted and developed in our lives. How you think is literally who you are. The Bible makes a declaration in Psalms chapter 23, verse 7, for as a man thinks, so he is. Today, you and I are all about how we think. You see, people come to the church service, they think differently. Some of you came here excited about experiencing Jesus. Some of you came excited about worship. Some of you came expecting God to move in your life. And some of you were dragged here by somebody, and you're saying, dear Lord, I'm scared to death. When is this thing over? You're in the same service, but the difference is not about the location. The difference is about how you think. You see, our thoughts determine who we are. We were brought up in different homes. Some of you were brought up with moms and dads. Some of you were brought up with moms. Some of you were just brought up with dads. Some of you were brought up in abusive situations. Some of you were brought up dealing with abuse, whether it be physical, emotional, or psychological abuse. And our lives have been dealing with rejection. Some of you went through rejection as a child, maybe as a young adult, an adolescent. Some of you went through rejection as a teenager. And some of you went through rejection through your marriage. All of those thoughts that are allowed to seed into our head determine who we are, where we go, how we act, and how we react. It is all according to the thoughts that you have in your head. Now, we've already covered, and I don't have time, we did 3 weeks on, seriously, just the science of the mind. The science of the mind and the brain. We know that we're a soul, intellect, emotions, and will that has a spirit that lives in a body. We know that according to our mind, as we think, scientifically proven, that as you think, you're automatically creating in your physical brain either life or death. 75 to 99% of all mental health and physical health is established out of how we think. Today, you and I are the culmination of the seeds of thoughts that we have allowed to be planted in our mind, and we have allowed them to grow up and manifest some type of tree in our life. The Bible is so powerful, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds, taking into captivity every thought and imagination that would raise itself up against God. You see, he has called us to be people that are of our right mind. You see, you deserve to have a right mind. Can I hear an amen? The Bible is so clear. It says, for the Lord has not given you the spirit of fear or timidity, but of love, power, and a sound mind. How our mind thinks determines our health in our mind,
determines the health in our physical bodies and in our emotions. So today, the Lord is telling us that we have the authority over the very thoughts in our heads because he said, take into captivity every thought and imagination that would raise itself up against the word of God. This is why the devil strives to keep you ignorant of the Bible. You see, a lot of people just read the Bible every once in a while. The only Bible you get is coming to church on a Sunday. The devil wants you to be ignorant because the more ignorant you are, the more he can work in your life. I want to remind you when Jesus was tempted of the devil 40 days in the wilderness, that the devil came to him and tempted him with the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And the enemy of his soul, Satan himself, actually used verses from the Bible, twisted and contorted, but Christ knew the truth. You see, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus is the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And Jesus thwarted the attack of the enemy by using the word of God. Our thoughts must be arrested and not allowed to be whatever they desire to be because those thoughts are developing scientifically. We already went through it. I can't do it again. Scientifically proven that every thought you have is creating in your physical brain. Life or death. So we are truly without any reservation being able to say scientifically, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Today, you are because of how you think. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says that we are not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. The people have said that this is a brainwashing church, and they are 100% correct. We are here to allow the word of God to wash our flesh, to wash our mind with the water and the word of God, that we will start doing exactly as the scripture declares. The word of God says in 2 Corinthians that we have the mind, 1 Corinthians, we have the mind of Christ. But the only way to allow the mind of Christ to rule and reign is when we take into captivity every thought and imagination that would try to raise itself up against the word of God. The word being the truth. You see, I want to think like Jesus thought. I want to do what Jesus did. I want to be available to act as Jesus acted. I never saw Christ fail. I never saw Christ get sick. I never saw Christ deal with struggles. Why? Because he learned how to think like his Father thought. And this is the thought. If God is for you, who can be against you? When God is on your side, you cannot fail. It don't matter what anybody does or says. You've got victory in the name of Jesus because you think like God thinks. Truth is that exactly who we are. Our verse for the year is Psalms 1 verse 3, and it says this. He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. I want you to see this. Every tree comes from a... So life is in the seed. You and I are like trees planted by the water. The water, the Bible declares in John chapter 4, is that the Holy Spirit is the water, the rippling water that flows out of the innermost parts of the belly. We know that the Holy Spirit is the water. So the seed of your life, the seeds of your thoughts, are determining the tree that you have. Every tree determines the fruit. In every piece of fruit is what? More seed. Not seed for that tree to eat, but seed for that tree to plant. You see, today, the thoughts that we have determine the tree that we establish. The tree that we establish determine the fruit that's on that tree. The fruit that's on that tree has seed generations embodied within it. And the moment those seeds are planted, you see, I'm here to tell you, your thoughts and my thoughts are not my own. We've got to surrender them to the God of heaven. Why? Because they are going to truly affect generations to come. You are not a natural person that just deals with yourself. There is not an island to themselves. You are generational because the seeds of your thoughts. Now, we talked about this even medically. We talked about this in the principles of science. They have proven that every thought, once it is burned upon the microtubular, that once it's burned on there, that it literally also burns upon the physical heart of the human being and is then embodied within the DNA of a human. You see, what happens is that literally the very thoughts of your mind are passed on to the next generation. That is the fruit that you're passing it to. And those thoughts that you have will actually be opened up as a situation occurs in their life because of your life. This is not a game. This is why God dealt with this in such a powerful manner. Because our children and our children's children and our children's children's children to the fourth generation are affected by our thought life. How we think is who we are and who our children will be and who our children's children will be. And the determination whether they will change or not is whether they are going to say, I refuse to accept the DNA from my mother and father. I refuse to accept the thought life of my mother and father. I choose to still think like God, for it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. In the life that I live in the flesh, I live according to the faith of the Son of God. There comes a time that you and I have to say, whether I want prosperity or poverty only depends upon the seeds of the thoughts that I allow to be planted and cultivated in my life, and I choose prosperity in every area of my life instead of poverty. Truthfully, we are developed by conditioning. Because of the household you grew up in, because of the experiences of your life, the thoughts that you've allowed to be planted, germinate, grow, and produce fruit. If we allow those ungodly things to truly seat within our physical brain, then literally without any question, it is conditioning us. This is where we have got to be rebellious. Turn to somebody and say, I'm a rebel with a cause. Rebellion's not all bad. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft when we're rebelling against God. But when you are not rebelling against God and you're rebelling against the kingdom of hell, rebelling against things that are trying to be high-minded above God, that's the good kind of thing. And I rebel against the working of the flesh. Why? Because the flesh is the enemy of God and will never be a friend. What is the flesh? How you think. You know, we can see the power of conditioning. I had someone say to me the other day, actually it was on Facebook. I love Facebook. They said to me, I wrote down last night, actually, I wrote, what thought are you going to allow in your mind to keep you from the word of God that will change your life? That's what I wrote last night. And someone said, I want to think the way I want. And I pondered that statement. And you know, it's really stupid. Because actually, every time we think, it's because we've been conditioned to think a certain way. Some people hate God and hate church, not because they haven't had an experience, not because they haven't researched or they haven't researched, but because somebody put within them that God's not real, that church is foolishness, that God's word isn't truth. They'd never researched it themselves, because if they actually researched whether God's word was true, they'd have to be saved. You'd have to have intellectual abandonment to say that God's word is not truth. So here we are, we've been conditioned. And so many people live in this condition of mind and say, I'm just going to think the way I want. Well, no, I'm sorry. You've been taught to think that way. You ever seen an elephant? I'm going to be quick. Can I see the elephant? Elephants are an amazing creature. Has anybody ever ridden one? That's stinking cool. I tried to get an elephant this morning, by the way. We will have an elephant in this church someday. We might have to raise our own, but we are going to have an elephant. They were $6,500, so I figured not this week. Glory to God. But an elephant is an amazing creation. Why? It is literally the largest living animal on the planet. The African elephant weighs between 8,800 pounds and 15,000 pounds and stands between 10 and 13 feet tall. The Asian elephant is 6,600 pounds to 11,000 pounds and stands 7 to 11 feet tall. They are not a dumb creature. In fact, they're extremely intelligent. They're like, do you know whales? We all know that whales communicate with each other. They have their own language. Elephants do too. They're one of the only animals on the planet that actually have their own language. In fact, their language is so powerful that one elephant can speak to another elephant and it can be heard up to 5 miles difference. An elephant can live up to 70 years old. But when you, has anybody ever traveled to Asia before? When you travel to different Asian cultures, Thailand and different other cultures, you'll find that elephants are many times, and most of the time for generations, are absolutely controlled. In fact, they do the work. They transport the people. They're not riding cars, they're riding elephants. That's going to be stinking cool. I want to do that. What they found was this, is they've taken an elephant as a baby and they tie a rope around the elephant's leg. And they tether the other side to a stake down into the ground. Now even as a baby elephant, that's how it looks, even as a baby elephant, that elephant is powerful enough to pull out that stake. But they train that elephant, they condition that baby elephant to believe that as long as that rope is around its leg and that stake, that resistance is in the ground, that they cannot pull it out. And they say they can so condition the intelligent animal called the elephant, they can condition it so strongly that when it is weighing 15,000 pounds, when it feels that rope around its leg, it will not pull it out because the condition of the mind of the elephant is that it's being controlled. It's not that the elephant doesn't have the power. It's not that he's not strong enough. It's not that one tear of his leg will not rip the rope and the stake right out of the ground. But what's happened is the conditioning of the mind has been so worked within that elephant that it actually believes that it is a captive even when it is not. And you see, there are so many of us in this room. We've lived lives that have allowed thoughts to cultivate in our hearts and our lives where we have become people that are contained and actually owned and controlled because of environments that we've been through in the past. It's not that you can't break it. It's not that you're not strong enough to overtake it. But you've actually taken a hold of and believed that this rope is stronger than you. You know, there's another animal in the animal kingdom. It's called the lion. The lion at most weighs, usually the male, 500 pounds, maybe 550. The lion itself, man, it doesn't do a lot in the aspect of fighting. In fact, let's be honest. The lions many times know who they are so much, they don't even go find the food. They let the wife do that. I heard that. A lion lives between 10 and 14 years. A lion is literally, when you look at the size of a 15,000-pound elephant to the size of a lion, there is such a majestic difference between the two. Knowing that one kick of the elephant, one trampling of the elephant will destroy it. But there is something that is absolutely different between the lion and the elephant, and it is the way they think. The elephant sees themselves as prey. And the lion sees themselves as predator. The lion sees themselves with no fear and raw power. Where the elephant sees themselves and they see a lion and they start a stampede. The truth is simple. And that is the lion could be crushed and destroyed by the elephant. but it never will be because of the conditioning of the mind, because of the mind of the prey and the predator. You see, this is the difference. You and I have to make a decision in our heart. How we're going to think determines whether we're prey or we're the predator. Whether we're laying down and crying in the corner and making excuses. How many people have made excuses in their lives for not accomplishing the vision and the destiny that they've been foreordained to because they blame their mother, their father, their uncle, their aunt. They blame the circumstances of their life. Listen, the problem is not the circumstances. The problem is how you think. It's all about how you think. If you think you can't, you won't. Well, you don't understand the economy. Well, I didn't finish college. Listen, more millionaires and billionaires never finished college. Stop using excuses. Stop allowing yourself to be arrested by the environment that you grew up in. Stop allowing yourself to be tethered by the rope. Stop allowing yourself, your thought processes and how you believe and who you are. Stop allowing them to control your life. If God is for you, baby, who can be against you? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's nothing I can't accomplish. Get out of my way. I'm going all the way for God. See, it all comes down to how you think. The lion sees himself as the victor. Who are you? The facts are the facts. The elephant is stronger than the lion. But the facts are the facts. As a man thinks, so he is. So the lion will still be the predator, and the giant elephant will still be the prey. And it has nothing to do with strength. It has nothing to do with capabilities. It has everything to do with how the elephant thinks. How many of us have given up everything because of how we thought? We've surrendered our lives to things that are not God thoughts. They're not in the Word. And we've allowed them to control us so much that we've abandoned the very purpose for our being on this planet. You see, I just believe that God has greatness for you. Oh, but Pastor, you don't understand the weakness that I have. Oh, but in your weakness, he is strong. Oh, Pastor, you don't understand the economy. Oh, but if God can make a mountain move, what can he do with your money? There's nothing impossible for God unless you don't allow him to be possible. And it's all about how you think. So many of us just allow our thought life to do whatever it wants to do. And our thought life doesn't have that right. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. The word let means you've got to allow. You've got to allow God to be God in your life. You've got to allow God to be more than just pulling you out of hell and saving you so the devil can't lick your toes. You've got to allow God to be more than just your candy man. You've got to allow God to be more than just somebody you pray to when you have a desperate need. You've got to allow God to be your life. In him we live and move and have our being. My life is in Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live according to the faith of the Son of God. I cannot fail when I think how God thinks. Oh my goodness, here's a really cool one. Open your Bibles with me to the book of Numbers real quickly. It's the last book of the Old Testament. See, and if you have a phone Bible, it doesn't matter. Just type it in. This is such a powerful reality. And this is where so many of us are at. How many of you have ever dealt with struggle in your life? How many of you have ever dealt with relationships, struggles with your relationships? How many of you have dealt with struggles with your health? How many of you have dealt with struggles of your finances? How many of you just simply struggle? It's life. Adversity comes. Don't be shocked when the fiery trial comes upon you as some strange things have happened, the Bible says in Peter. But you got God on your side. Well, I don't know. Exactly, that's the problem. Well, I don't know if I believe that God stuff. Exactly, that's the problem. You've allowed a high and lofty thought of the flesh to raise itself up against God. Who did that in the scripture? Lucifer did that in the scripture. He said, I will raise myself up above God and I will be like God. I want you to know today the most humble position you could ever take is total reliance upon the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the King loves to take care of his people. The King loves to take care of his citizens. In fact, let's just be straight. A king is judged by how he takes care of his constituents. In Numbers here, for 400 years, the children of Israel had been in bondage. They had been slaves. Finally, the Lord sends a deliverer. His name is Moses. Moses! Sorry, just came upon me. Moses! Here's Moses. He goes and the Lord says, I want you to deliver my children. He goes, well, I have a stammering problem, God. Isn't it amazing? The very first thing that happens when we're dealing with God asking us to do something beyond what our capabilities of, our mind starts to talk us out of it. We immediately come up with excuses. And God will always eliminate your excuses if you allow him to. I love when he does that. He said, here, take Aaron. Do whatever your brother says. God will always make sure that your excuses are null and void. When you actually start believing who you are, when you actually start believing who God says you can do and what God says you can do and where you can be, it is amazing to realize how quick you'll accelerate. So here he goes and he delivers the children of Israel. It was an amazing feat. And all of a sudden, 2.5 million people cross the Red Sea and they walk across on dry ground and the entire Egyptian army, they're swallowed up in the river and they're drowned to death. And here the children of Israel start complaining. Watch now. They are not the ones that put themselves in slavery. You're not always the one who puts yourself in slavery. But it doesn't mean you won't think like a slave. Problems start coming. They start complaining. The water, it's bitter. Oh, I wish we were back in Egypt. You know what? Listen, when you always talk about going backwards, you've never burned your bridges. When there is a place to go back to, your brain will take you there. Some of you got friends you need to get rid of. Some of you got people in your life that you need to get out of your life. They're the people that, when you get excited about Jesus, they're the first ones to start trying to talk you out of God. Well, I liked you better when you were a drunk. It could be somebody, it doesn't matter. You've got to realize that conditioning comes by words, for life and death are in the power of words that get into your life. It's time to start arresting the people. It's time to start arresting the conditioning and start allowing yourself to create the environment for success. So they get to the promised land. I want you to realize this. The promised land was not the goal. It's what was in the promised land that was goal. So the 12 spies, they're released to go. They walk in and they see all the things that are there. They see the land and how beautiful it is. They see the rivers and how gorgeous. They see the fruit. In fact, they grab bundles of fruit. They see the men and the women there. They see the walled cities and they see giants. And they all come back with a report. get back to Moses. And Moses says, you know, what'd you see? And this is what they said. Numbers chapter 13, starting with verse 30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. The Bible says that 10 of them came back with a bad report, and only 2 of them agreed with God. Did God not say, go up and take the land? Did God not say, I'll fight for you? Did God not say, this is the promise that I gave Abraham? Did God not say, this is your land, go in there and possess it? When you think anything other, there are thoughts that should never come. And when they do, you can't allow them to stay. So Caleb came back and he goes, yeah, baby, we got this beast. With God on our side, we can't fail. Let's get ready to go up and take the land. We can possess it immediately. It's what God's promise was. We will have everything that God promised us, and we will take it all. Woo! Let's finish the verse. Verse 31. What is a but? But the men who had gone up with Caleb said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. They gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people who we saw in it are men of great stature. Oh, here's the verse right here. Ready? Verse 33. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, and came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so, we were in their sight. As a man thinks, so he is. Here's these 12 guys. They see everything the same. But they came back with a different report because some believed that they could not do it. But others believed God. And when they believed God, man, they were all fired up. But those who did not said, listen, we see ourselves as grasshoppers, so they see us as grasshoppers. Some of you will never do the will of God in your life because you see yourself less than who God sees you as. Well, you know, Pastor, no one loves me. Well, you know, Pastor, my childhood. Well, you know, Pastor, my parents. Well, you know, Pastor, I had a bad experience at church. Oh, you know, Pastor, well, you know, this problem and that problem. And we conjure up all these problems. We allow these thoughts to start taking over. And what that's doing to you is it's stealing your promised land. Every excuse you use is stealing your promised land. For as you see yourself, you are. Caleb saw themselves as victors. The lion sees himself as a victor. The elephant sees himself as a prey. But how you see yourself is who you'll be to everybody around you. And the scary part about that is, how many of us have God living inside of us? You're saved. He's the one who said, let there be and there was. What more power do you need? What is impossible for you? What can't you do? Are you a grasshopper? Are you an elephant? Watch this now, Dan. I'm almost done. 2 hours, we're out. Watch this. Dan is a pretty bulky guy. No, I don't mean fat. You're big. You said your shoulders are 56s. Oy. But you know something? If Dan is tethered by this rope, and with resistance he believes he cannot free himself from this rope, then no matter how much God has for him right here, he'll never get it. It's not that he's not strong enough, but he has these thoughts. I can't. My excuses of life. I'm too busy. I'm too old. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. That's a whiner. I'm worthless. Watch. It's not that he's not strong enough to move this. It's not that he can't get what God has for him. But he's allowed his thoughts to condition him, to tether him to something that he's more powerful than. Why would we do that? And this is why God is so passionate. Take every thought and imagination that raises itself up against God and bring it into captivity. Do not allow the bird to nest in your hair. Do not allow your brain to think any way it desires. You have a responsibility to preach the word to yourself, to hear the word, to get the truth in you, for the truth shall make you free. You see, it doesn't take long. Actually, Dan, just loosen yourself, please. It doesn't take long to untie himself and to go over to get what God has. But watch. The potential is all, whoops. I was going to preach into the glass. The potential is always there to be tethered up again. This is not a 5-minute ordeal. This is the rest of your life. How will you allow your thought process to be? Thank you, Dan. Are you a grasshopper or are you a lion? Do you believe the word or is it just nice religious cliches? Is Christ truth? Or is it just a religious experience? You see, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the soul and the spirit and the bone and the marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word is alive, and Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and life. When we allow the words of God to penetrate us, when we allow this mind that was in Christ Jesus to manifest in us, when we allow ourselves to have the mind of Christ, when we start thinking the way God thinks, there is absolutely nothing we cannot accomplish. There is nothing that we cannot do. There is not one dream that has to die in the ground when you're buried. There is not one passion that has to be pushed aside. God will always give you the strength. He'll always give you the power. For greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Ah, there's nothing that I can't accomplish. Get out of my way. It's time to know that if God is on your side, you cannot fail. Lion, elephant, grasshopper, I can take the land. How do you think? Because that's who you are. Don't lie to yourself. For don't be deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If a man sows of the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. If he sows of the spirit, he shall of the spirit reap eternal life. How you think is who you are. Think godly, and you'll find a whole new world open up to you. Think the flesh, and all you got is excuses. I hate excuses. Didn't allow my kids to use them. Why? Because I can do anything if Jesus is with me. Can I hear an amen? Bow your heads with me this morning. You see, today we have a responsibility to allow God's thoughts to be our thoughts. Every one of us are the culmination of the seed of thoughts that we've allowed to be planted, germinate, and harvest. Who are you? It's easy to tell. Look at your fruits. Don't judge me. I don't have to. You judge yourself. Your fruits judge you. Are you a non-believer? Well, why are you a non-believer? What seeds were planted to bring you to be a non-believer? For God said, I've written my law on their hearts. Everyone believes. Even an atheist believes that there isn't a God. They believe something. That's called faith. Because God gave everyone a measure of faith. The evolutionists got to believe that there was a big bang someday. They got to believe we were born out of slime. They got to believe more than Darwin, for Darwin retracted his statements. The one who created it recanted it. Who are you? Are you a grasshopper? Or are you a lion? Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I believe the Holy Spirit's been working on you. That's supernatural. For you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I've ordained you that you go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. He's drawing you. You feel conviction in your heart and you know that in your life you've got to get right with God. Listen, I'm not asking you to join a church or a religion. I want you to know him so you can do what God's called you to do, man. You're a very important person. He planned you before he said, let there be light, and there was. You're here today for that reason. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior and you want him in your life, you want to surrender your life to Christ, maybe you're not right with God. You're in a backslidden condition, but you want to get right with Jesus. Today's your day, right now. Today, if you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, get right with God. I want you to raise your hand up right now. Is there anyone in the room right now that wants to give their heart to the Lord? Get right with Jesus. Thank you very much. Thank you, young ladies. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, ma'am. Is there anyone else? Come on, I'm not going to wait long. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Come on, I'm not going to wait long. 5, 4, come on, get your hand up. 3, 2, last call. Why do you do that? It's simple. It could be your last call. Last call. Thank you, sir. 1. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. I like all those who raise their hands to be saved, to give their heart to the Lord, to meet me right up front. I'd like the prayer team to come up right now, if they'll come on up. Prayer team. I know it takes a little bravery, but that's okay. You got this thing. God said, hey, listen, everybody who's in this room, when they gave their heart to the Lord, came to the front. Why? Because if you confess me before a man, I'll confess you before my Father. If you raise your hand, come on up front right now. Today, if you need prayer for anything, more hands went up than that are here. If you need prayer for anything, the prayer team is here. We're going to see God change your lives. Isn't this the time to have your life changed? Jesus is coming, by the way. Get right quick. Let me release a blessing in your life. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for those, God, that are in this house. I thank you, God, that we will arrest our flesh, arrest our minds. God, we will be blessed and healthy in every area of our life. Lord, we curse sickness and disease in Jesus' name. Lord, any diabolical plot, we cancel it in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. We cannot be defeated with God on our side. And Lord, we thank you for your goodness in our life. Let us lead at least one soul to Jesus this week for the glory of heaven. And everybody said, amen. Folks, I'm going to have...
If you're a guest in the house today, we want to invite you to the reception so that we can meet you. If someone brought you, have them come with you. We'll see you next door.